XL102, hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. Is this Jim?
Yeah.
Jim, what's up, dude?
You're up. That's what's up.
Thanks for calling. Jim Brewer on the line. My name is Vaughn, by the way, Jim. We're so excited to see you this Friday in Richmond. When's the last time you were in Richmond, man?
I don't know if I ever performed in Richmond.
Okay, good. Because
I don't think so. So this is my first time, and I think we're almost sold out. So it'd be really nice to kick off this leg of the tour with a sold-out Richmond show.
I'm pretty sure it's going to sell out. The last time I checked, it was like 90%. So yeah. I think we'll sell out before we need a walk-up. But I'm glad. I've only been here for like 2-3 years, and I don't remember you coming through. So I'm glad. That means I didn't miss you. That's awesome.
No, I'm pretty sure it's the first time I've ever been in Richmond, Virginia. I've played other parts, but never Richmond. So I'm pretty stoked to see some new Brewer fans.
Oh, yeah. I've been a fan for a while. I finally got to see you last year when you were opening up for Metallica in Raleigh.
Oh,
that was crazy, man. What was that all like? And how did you guys conceptualize that? Because that stage is like crazy.
Well, the singer James reached out, and he goes, "Hey, would you be interested in touring with us?" He goes, "But it's not what you think. We don't know what we want. We want to." He said years ago, I had this radio show, and he goes, "What? We were on your radio show, and then you did this thing for us in San Francisco where you did game shows for our fans. Would you be willing to create some type of opening that's never really been done?" And I'm like, yeah. So I gave him a bunch of ideas, and I never heard from him again. So I figured, all right, that's their way of saying
he didn't like it. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's Metallica, whatever. So now I'm out on the road, and I get a call from their manager, and the manager goes, "Hey, listen, are you home this Sunday?" Friday night. And I went, "Sure." He goes, "I'll be at your house." I mean, "You're going to be in my house in New Jersey in the middle of nowhere?" He goes, yeah. Is it cool? I said, "Yeah, sure." So he stopped by, brings in a laptop. And I got all these ideas. And he goes, "I want to talk to you about this James thing." And I got in there, and he opens up his laptop, and he shows me all the dates. And he goes, "I already looked at your dates. Are you into doing this?" Now, I have no clue what we're doing. I have no clue what the money is. I have no clue, zero. And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Great, because we announce it at 7 a.m. And you're on it." And he goes, "We just couldn't tell you." I'm like, "What?" So I really didn't know what I was doing until the first show. And I didn't know what the fans would be into. I knew I couldn't do stand-up for an hour and a half. That wasn't going to work. And the way the stage was, I'm a diehard Metallica fan. I grew up watching them. I've been to every concert since probably the Injustice for All tour. And so I said, all right, what would I want coming into that arena? And that's what I try to put together. I don't know what I had by Richmond. I don't know if I was doing the sing-along with the whole crowd where everyone had everyone singing Pantera, Priest, Maiden, all in a medley, or I did game shows or behind the scenes, but I just know every show is a little different. And heck, I pulled it off. And Lars at one point, he said, "Look, don't get disappointed. You're lucky if 1,000 people are going to be in the arena when you're on stage." And he was, by the third show, it was about 10,000 people. Every time I walked out, I couldn't believe it. It was nuts.
Well, that was a treat for us. I mean, me and my brother went, and like we grew up Metallica fans too. Huge, of course. But we've seen then Metallica a bunch of times. I was like, we got to get there early for Brewer. So, but you killed it, man. It was awesome. It was cool to see you that way, running backstage, running. And the dude that was with you was really funny too.
Joe Sib. Yeah, me and Joe. So that's what I did. You know, I found a friend of mine. I let him DJ and help me out, and we interact. And it was but the show that I'm touring is nothing like that. I mean, it's a hour 20 stand-up comedy set that I'm always surprised people don't know there's still people out there that just like, isn't that the guy from,
yeah,
from Half Baked or something? He does stand up. They have no clue. I think that's so weird, but
it is, yeah. But yeah. I mean, a lot of people do know you from SNL as like Go Boy and sure. Joe Pesci, yeah. Obviously Half Baked, yeah. as you mentioned with Dave Chappelle. And like at the time, if you go back then, you thought your career was sort of going to continue on that trajectory. But for whatever reason, it went the route of stand-up comedy, which has been awesome. But you got to be pretty pumped about your career and the way things have gone, no?
Oh, no. Well, let me just give you a little scenario. I started in stand-up, and the stand-up is what led to Comedy Central when they're first coming out. I was their rising star. And then that led to TV and SNL and all that. So I always had the stand-ups. That was the book. And then after I did Saturday Life a while, I gotta word it right. Basically, I realized I'm not a fan of Hollywood. I'm not a fan of the industry. And when the show ended and we just finished filming Half Baked, I started a family, and I chose not to go to Hollywood, and I chose to stay home. And, you know, my parents were getting older, and I knew they weren't going to be around. And if I jump in that madness, I'm going to be gone all the time. And I already was doing well, and I had way more than I ever anticipated. And so I knew once my kids got a little older, as long as I keep up with the stand-up, then I could start going back out there. And that's exactly what's happened the last 4 or 5 years. And I can honestly say I've enjoyed my life so much on every level. I've got to watch all my girls grow up. I got to hold my dad to his last breath. I got to watch my elderly parents and so many family things. And now I want to ditch them all.
Yeah, I was checking out
and crush it.
Yeah, and you kill it. The live show is amazing. Jim Brewer again this Friday night at the National. It's almost sold out, so don't wait till walk up. Jim, you mentioned Hollywood, and I was checking out. I didn't realize you had a podcast now going, but there was I forget when it came out or whatever, but I was listening to you tell a story about Farley, and you guys never intersected when you were at SNL, but when he came back to host, I guess, that's when you realized, hey, man, if you don't have anyone in your life to keep you grounded, you're just gone. And that's probably when you realized, you're going to stay with your family and do that.
Yeah, I had what I couldn't believe is to watch the sickness he was in. And it wasn't just him. It was a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just drugs and this. It was. There was a lot of other things. And for me to have a bird's eye view of all this and just see, it was just such a slimy feeling of why do you need this? Are people collecting paychecks?
Yeah.
That's all this is. It's just a product. It's just which, all right, I get it. But when a man is sick or a woman is sick and you don't go, you know what? This isn't hell. It's shut down. It's shut down.
Right.
I know the people I surround myself with would have never. I just know they've stepped up in my life. Any little time I started going off the little wacky end, like, come back to earth.
Bro. Yeah, right.
Take it easy. Take it easy. No, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Well, and that's good. I think more people need to hear that for sure.
Oh, but, without a doubt. I have no problem talking about it. I have no problem talking about it. And it's that's important. I know you're referring to the one and only live broadcast I did two podcasts ago with Keith Robinson.
Oh, yeah, it was sort of live. Yeah. But that's a cool thing about podcasts, I guess.
I love it. I love it. It makes me want to do more.
Good.
In front of an audience.
We'll tape live at Richmond this Friday night. So, like,
all right, that sounds good.
Some stand-ups are, you know, super methodical joke writers with setups and punchlines, but I love your style. It's just, you're like a storyteller, and you bring these characters to life, whether it's Lars or Tracy Morgan or your father. But what, like, when did you realize you had a knack for impressions?
Well, God, but when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because I'm the street corner kid telling the stories. I'm recapping the day. I recap situations, and I knew I can imitate everyone on the street. I can imitate everyone at school. I can imitate the school teachers. So it, and it's only things that I really are either I extremely like or extremely dislike. I can't study someone and go, okay, I'm going to memorize this person. It's got to be someone I'm a big fan of or something that happened to me. And then I just, it's very Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
If you look at old Richard Pryor, he told stories and he acted out everything in the story. That is my style.
Yep, for sure. I can't tell you how many times I listened to the Lars story. I can't tell you how many times I listened to Stomach Party. I used to play that bit all the time on the radio. And like the thing that kills me is the story about your dad. And I don't think I'm going to make it, you know? Like, that's like one of my favorite stories of all time. But
And that's what I got, man. You know, I don't do politics. I don't do news. I'd rather you have a good night out. And the best compliment I have is when people leave and they go, thank you for not being foul. And thank you for not going political.
Yeah.
You know what, man? None of us know anything about the madness going on in the world. Are we really going to sit and battle with each other over whatever we're listening to on our stations? It's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bernie's got an office set up in Richmond. Yeah, it's we could use a break.
Really?
Trust. Yeah. It's you know.
No comment. No comment.
Yeah. All right. No Jim Brewer pretty much sold out. Again, don't wait to get your tickets. TheNationalVA.com. Jim, normally we're a rock station, so we present shows at the National. But when I heard you were coming, I asked if we could present because if there's any comic out there who personifies rock and roll, it's you, dude. We can't wait for the show, man. Can't wait to meet you.
Man, I really appreciate it. And I'll see you this Friday, and I'm super stoked because it kicks off the whole – it's going to be a really cool excitement. So I'll see you this Friday, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jim.